Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
You've heard them being discussed on this programme. You might have one lovingly dog-eared and spattered with food. They make ideal presents, but there's a whole industry behind cookbooks that you might not be aware of. And Adam Maguire, RTE business journalist, is here to tell us more. The best ones are all spattered, aren't they?
And covered in bits of pages. Stuck together and they fall open on the recipe that you go to all
exactly.
the time.
They are about as old-fashioned as it gets, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've been around thousands of years. Actually, the oldest example, apparently 3,700 years old. It wasn't a book, it was actually a set of stone tablets, but the concept was the same, list of ingredients and instructions. For a long time, they would have been a status symbol because, you know, it would have been kings and lords and so on. Their chefs had them in the kitchen.
How to cook a woolly mammoth.
Whatever else it might be, yeah. But then the printing press came along and obviously much easier to get your hands on. And now I think every household has at least one, some, my own included, probably has a small library of them sitting in the kitchen as well, but yeah, very popular.
So how big is the market then for cookbooks?
Apparently the average year in Ireland would see cookbook sales worth between 4 and 6 million euro. That's in Ireland alone. So significant. Those are figures according to Nielsen. They were given to me by Debray Books. Globally, the figure's a bit harder to pin down. I came across one figure saying $4 billion in 2014. Though apparently it can fluctuate quite a lot because depending on the book that comes out that year, there could be one massive seller that boosts that, or it could be a quiet year, so it could go down a bit. But what's also clear is that there has been a big upswing in recent years. The pandemic led to a boom in cookbook sales here and around the world. In 2020, Irish cookbook sales worth about 7.6 million euros. So that's well above that 4, 6 million average. Last year, they were worth 6.9 million. So still above the norm. And apparently that books a trend of books in general. A lot of publishers would have seen book sales across the board fall during the pandemic because people just weren't browsing in bookshops. They weren't picking up something on a whim. But people were looking for things to do during lockdown. They were looking for things to replace the cafe and the restaurant visit they might have made in normal times. And so that most traditional genre of them all actually saw quite a pickup and did quite well during the pandemic.
But like most things, if you're looking for something now, you can go online in an instant and find a recipe that you like. But we are still turning to cookbooks.
Yeah,
why is that?
This is what I find really interesting because most of us are carrying little supercomputers in our pocket. Most of us have some kind of internet access. And a few clicks, you can find any recipe you want completely free. You can search for really niche things. And there are even websites now where you put in the ingredients you have and it will suggest something you could cook with that. So kind of in reverse almost. And you compare that to a cookbook, it's bulky. They're often quite expensive. You can't search it as well. So you might know you have a recipe for something in your pile of cookbooks, but you're going to have to trawl through it to find them. So they're not very practical in that way. So by logic, they should be dying out. And I'm sure the death of them has been predicted probably 100 times by now. But they remain as, if not more popular than ever. And it seems to be the fact that cookbooks aren't like the internet is the reason why people still love them. Repeatedly, the people I spoke to, the booksellers, publishers, they pointed out that the internet is great if you know what you're looking for. If you're searching for a particular dish or a particular, you know, item that you're trying to cook. But if you want new ideas, if you want inspiration, the cookbook is where you're going to go. Mm-hmm. You know, any half decent cookbook is a curated list. You know, it's edited, it's tried and tested. You know, unlike a website that you come across that, you know, you're not really sure how tried and tested the recipe is. It could be a bit hit and miss. You might even be dealing with imperial measurements. If an American or a UK website, you have to do your conversions. Or even just that big essay that you have to read through on these recipes before you actually get to the good stuff.
I think that's the big thing that annoys me with recipes online. All of the photographs, all of the ads.
Yeah.
And then the big story about how they arrived at this recipe in the first place. It's every recipe.
Yeah, you have Google to blame for that as well, kind of to blame, because in the early days of the search engine and online ads, some people realised that they could make a website, fill it with copied and pasted recipes that they stole from somewhere else, put ads next to it, and then, you know, if you searched for a type of food or an ingredient, the search engine would bring you to their website and they'd make money off the ad. So to try and stop people being led to these junk websites, Google changed its code and basically told its search engine, if you come across a website that's just a list of ingredients and instructions, ignore it. Don't give it to people in their search results. And so the only way that if you had a recipe website, the only way to get onto Google to get noticed was to put a lot of non-recipe text around the actual recipe. And so we have these meandering stories about the first time they tried this amazing cake and what a life-changing experience it was before you actually get to the good stuff.
It's really annoying.
Yeah, and it's really one of the reasons why people will turn to a cookbook, because you don't have to deal with that. Not to mention the fact a cookbook isn't going to switch off, you know, halfway through the recipe. It's not, you're not going to have to scroll through the page with your dough-covered hands or anything like that. They're a lot easier to use when you're in the thick
of it.
You
don't have
to
interrupt your cookbook to answer the WhatsApp just come in, all of that. And they're really lovely, some of them, particularly around this time of year when people are releasing them with an eye to the Christmas gift market. They're beautiful things.
They really are. And I think this is one of the positives that's come from the internet, because while it's still a very traditional kind of, you know, product, they've come a long way in the last 10, 20 years. You know, if you look at an older cookbook, it's very matter of fact. It's, you know, black and white print. It's a list of ingredients. It's the method. And that's kind of it. You might get a little illustration if you're lucky as well. But nowadays, they're really elaborate. They're full glossy pages, full colour, loads of high quality photos. I was speaking to someone in Gill Books, which is one of the big cookbook publishers here. They publish Nevin Maguire and Daily Dish, which has been hugely popular. They said, really, in the past 15 years, Irish cookbooks have come a long way, and they hold their own now against anything that's coming out of the US or the UK or any other country. It does come at a cost, though, because you need a professional photographer, you need studio space, you need home economists or food stylists, and you're using very high quality material to print it as well. So they're all things you don't have to worry about if it's just a novel, like a black and white book.
I do think the pictures work, though, because I rarely cook something from a book if there's no picture of it.
Yeah, what is this supposed to look like at the end? Am I too far off?
Or is it going to be worth it? And is that then why they can be quite expensive to buy?
Yeah, exactly. It's a huge cost for the publisher when it comes to cookbooks. But there's also a lot of risk, because, you know, they have to be sure there's a market there. The nightmare scenario is they go to all this effort, employ all these people, produce this high quality product, and they're left with a pile of books that no one wants. So a lot of energy goes into reading the tea leaves to try and figure out what people want next. You know, healthy eating, for example, is always popular, but exactly what that means changes over time. So a couple of years ago, it might have been paleo themed recipes. Now vegan is the big kind of area. Publishers always trying to figure out then what's next, you know, what's going to be the next big curve. And, you know, they look at other countries, they see what's happening online, what people are talking about and sharing. But even the economy is part of the factoring. Where a country is at economically is apparently part of the thinking when you're trying to plan your next cookbook. Gill Books said that baking became quite popular during the last recession. You know, people were looking for an escape, looking for a treat. And they expect that it's probably going to pick up again in the next year or two, because the economy is cooling off and reining in.
Yep.
We'll turn to that again.
Low cost recipes. We'll probably see a few books about that. So along with looking for the latest trend in food, they're looking for new people to make cookbooks with as well.
Yeah, and I think this is another way the internet has really changed the cookbook, because, you know, back in the day, a cookbook was made by exclusively almost professional chefs, famous chefs at that. You know, they maybe had a TV show or there were regulars on TV in some way or another, because of the costs and the risks involved. You know, you'd stick to people that the audience would know, you know, or maybe they were world renowned chefs in award winning restaurants or something like that. They had some kind of a name already. Now it's kind of flipped the other way around. People are building a profile online, they're getting a book deal on the back of that, and then maybe ending up on TV after they have the cookbook. You know, cookbooks aren't just professional foodies either. If you look on the shelves now, you're going to see athletes, social media influencers, models all have cookbooks next to the well-known established big name chefs. I mentioned the Daily Dish earlier. Gina and Carol Daly, their first book came out in 2020, right at the start of the pandemic, was the biggest selling cookbook in Ireland that year. And it came on the back of Gina Daly having about 70,000 odd followers on Instagram. She ended up with the book deal then. Now they have more than 200,000 people following them on Instagram, and two more cookbooks as well. So, it's, you know, they never went near TV. They were exclusively online.
Big social media following and very practical recipes as well, which probably helps, particularly when you're dealing with a busy family. Now, Adam, we're going to come back to the home cooks and the chefs in question. Are they actually writing the cookbooks themselves, or is there a huge team behind them?
Well, there are all those people, the photographers and so on that I mentioned, but there's also ghostwriters, and it's kind of an open secret of the cookbook world, because even a professional chef who really knows their stuff, they need a bit of help, you know, in terms of actually putting a cookbook together. They generally do. So you can imagine they might have a folder full of amazing recipes they developed, but they might not be very good at putting it down on a page in a way that an amateur at home is going to actually be able to make use of, or maybe the recipe needs to be tweaked so it can work in a home kitchen rather than a professional kitchen, or the ingredients need to be be tweaked because you're just not going to find those things in your local supermarket. And, you know, the chefs might simply be too busy with their day job of running a restaurant or producing TV shows or whatever else they do. So they need that bit of help. The New York Times had an article a few years ago documenting the life of a cookbook ghostwriter. They spoke about standing in a restaurant kitchen trying to follow the chef while they were cooking things, all while trying to stay out of the way of the dinner service as well. And that was their job, basically. So it can be a long process and take a year or two, depending on where they're at. And that's where the writer or the editor kind of comes in handy. And the lines between the writer and the chef, the name on the book, it can be fairly blurry because, you know, if the chef has a recipe, but then it gets tweaked and adapted by the ghostwriter to make it actually practical. Most people would say it's still the chef's mm-hmm. recipe, but obviously a lot of help has gone into making it something that people can use.
Is it always just helping out though, Adam? Does it go beyond that ever?
Well, there have been claims in certain cases that the ghostwriter was doing most of the work rather than the big name that's on the cover. The New York Times piece, for example, claimed that a ghostwriter had written most of Gwyneth Paltrow's first cookbook, which apparently was put forward as a very personal list of recipes relating to her father. She came back though and claimed that there was no ghostwriter at all. She said she wrote every single word on the page. Not just celebrities though, the chefs as well. Jamie Oliver, Rachel Ray apparently use ghostwriters because, again, they're just so busy with everything else that they couldn't, it wouldn't be possible to churn out that volume of cookbooks along with everything else they do. There are also allegations of plagiarism in cookbooks as well. A former MasterChef UK contestant, Elizabeth High, put out a book of recipes that she said had been handed down through many generations of her family. Its publisher though last year quietly pulled it after claims that it had copied or paraphrased large part of another book.
Yikes.
In another case, an American pastry chef, Nick Malgeri, found that a lot of his recipes were being published online, in some cases giving credit to other chefs. And it seems to have been a kind of a chain that one website would rip it off, another website would rip it from that website and so on and so on. And then a chef came along and pulled it from the website and put it into their cookbook and claimed it was theirs. And you can't really copyright a recipe. It's a
not
big problem.
Really,
so,
no.
You know, it's hard to claim ownership over that idea. And ironically, one of the ways of protecting it is to make your recipe more literary, more descriptive. So maybe we're going back to that annoying, long, meandering story at the start of the recipe to try and claim some ownership over what these people are doing.
Okay, I have a message here. Somebody says they're looking forward to my Kitchen Thighs recipe cookbook. Did you hear about this, the chicken thighs?
Yes, I did. Yeah, yeah. I couldn't believe it. This is up for debate that chicken thighs are unlike spicy.
You like them, do you?
I like them, yeah. They're delicious.
My opposition to chicken thighs has actually grown since we did that item.
Oh,
and
really?
I'll tell you why. I figured it out over
digging,
the weekend.
You're digging your heels in.
Right, I was thinking long and hard about it because the chefs came up with lovely recipes for them. And you're going to put all of this effort into this bony, grizzly, fatty little thing that you get two bites. I mean, why not put all of that effort into a dish that you can actually eat?
There's so much, you know, flavour and texture in a chicken thigh compared to a chicken breast. It's just, and they're really easy as well. Just bung them in the oven.
I know,
and
sorry
delicious.
Now. I will not be converted, Adam. Will not be converted.
We'll get that cookbook and you'll be grand.
Thanks very much. Adam McGuire will take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.